This is Lead 12:12, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Here's Dave and Chris. Leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It's about one's influencing another. John Maxwell.
That's a great quote.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Here we are. Number two. You made it. We made it.
We made it.
Did we even think we'd get to the second podcast? Oh. We were hoping. So here we are.
The best is yet to come.
Oh, I hope so. We're so thankful you're listening. Chris has got some good stuff. We're gonna jump in together. And again, thanks for listening.
Dave, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What motivates you to come to work every morning?
Okay, that's a great question. I can't say cheesecake.
That would be motivating for me.
Yeah, I think it's because of who I want to be in this world. And that's, for me, it's I want to be someone who loves Jesus.
That's
so
beautiful.
That's why I have to get up, because he's given me that second chance to do that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, brother.
So here's a question. Do you believe most people get great satisfaction from their work and take pride in doing the best job they can?
That's a good question as well. No, I think a lot of us is like that commercial, gotta make the donuts, and they just go through it and have to get it done instead of actually looking at their job as something that can make an impact on other people's life.
So let me ask you the opposite of that. Do you think most people see work as a burden and they're just there for the money?
Probably, don't you?
No, I actually disagree with that.
Okay.
These are the assumptions that we're going to discuss today. These are two theories called Theory X and Theory Y, and this is how the managers see their people, and believe it or not, it actually has a huge influence on the work output that people do.
That's fair, and I think you're right, but I think we've got to get beyond thinking that people are there just to make the money, because I do think that's a mentality we tend to lean on. I know that I did, so I think this is good. Does that make sense, Chris?
It does, yeah. All right. And, you know, the idea that the manager's attitude impacts employee motivation was proposed by a very smart guy named Douglas McGregor. Douglas McGregor was a management professor at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, during the 1950s and 1960s. And in 1960, he wrote a book called The Human Side of Enterprise. And this was a groundbreaking book. And in this book, he proposed the two theories that we're talking about tonight, Theory X and Theory Y, by which managers perceive and address employee motivation. Each theory assumes a manager's role is to organize resources, include people to best benefit the company. But beyond this commonality, the attitudes and assumptions are very different. So let's start with Theory X.
All right, let's do it.
According to McGregor, Theory X management believe the following. Work is fundamentally disgusting to most people, and they will attempt to do anything they can to avoid it. Most people are not ambitious, they have no desire for responsibility, and they prefer to be directed or micromanaged.
When you put it that way... Yeah, that's pretty rough.
It is.
And I think that's not true. But I think we've become that. We tend to think that people are like that sometimes. Don't you?
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, but they're not.
They think most people just don't have the aptitude for creativity and problem solving. And the only reason they're there is for money. Nothing to do with job satisfaction or how good they are at their job. And it gets worse. Most Theory X managers believe that people are self-centered and they must be closely controlled and maybe even coerced to achieve their objectives. Basically, Theory X managers see that people are gullible and not intelligent. Have you ever had anyone like that you've reported to?
Maybe, probably. I was a bagger at Kroger's, and I'm pretty sure that's the way they did it when you worked there back in the 80s.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah, and honestly, even in church work, I've had elders that were supposed to do what they want me to do, not necessarily what God's called me to do. And I think that happens a lot in all areas of work. I'm sitting here as you're talking. I'm thinking about just someone who's working anywhere. You name the place, you fill in the blank, and I can see some people that feel like they're going there just to make the money and get out of it. hopefully, though, they have a person who's leading them that doesn't feel that way. Does that make sense?
It does. And both of these are really a self-fulfilling prophecy. When I've had jobs where I was micromanaged, then I had to remind myself, it all pays the same. It just keep working for that paycheck. That's all you're going to do. Never did I try to go above or beyond, or never did I feel a need to really do anything exceptional because I wasn't being managed for that, and I just didn't see the goals.
See, and I think that's good too. I think at some point I would love to be able to talk to people who are actually under that kind of leadership, where we can talk how they can lead in their own way. Because, you know, they need help. We all need help. I need help. My aching back.
Was that a my aching back moment there?
It was. Oh, my back. We all need help, even the Three Stooges. Sorry. I thought that was funny. Thank you, buddy.
Dave, can you think of biblically of any examples of a Theory X manager?
I did. On the top of my head, as soon as you said it to me, the thought came in. It was the Pharisees.
Perfect.
Yeah, in verse 3 of John 8, it says this: the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to her, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. These guys were jerks. They were religious people that were just trying to get their money and go on. They wanted everybody to think they were religious, that they were spiritual. And the truth is, they were a mess that didn't understand how God worked.
Absolutely.
That's what we see. This poor lady, no one even thinks about her. Of what she went through and all this, but we'll talk more about that continuing on. So, is that a good example?
That's a perfect
example.
Does that
work?
Yeah, I think the Pharisees are probably the best way to sum up Theory X managers.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So for people listening, if you're unfortunate enough to work under a Theory X manager, you'll know that they take either two approaches to get the results from you. And the same manager can take both approaches, or they can just use one. And it's called the hard and the soft approach. If a Theory X manager takes a hard approach with you, they try to motivate you by coercion, threats. And these can be implicit or explicit threats, micromanagement, and very tight controls on you, essentially an environment of command and control. Or they can use the soft approach. The soft approach is to be permissive and to seek harmony in the hopes that in return, the employee will cooperate when asked.
That's almost a passive aggressive way, right?
It is a passive aggressive way. Yes, that's a great way to put that.
I see that.
And Dave, neither of these extremes are optimal. The hard approach results in what? Hostility, purposely low output, and extreme union demands. No one's going to work hard for someone that's using the hard approach. And the soft approach is just as bad. It results in a growing desire for greater reward in exchange for diminished work output. It's almost like a negotiation. If you agree to do this, then I'll do this.
So what we're saying is this is a tough theory to use as a management skill. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what McGregor says, and I completely agree with
that. Well, that's what Chris and Dave say, too.
A Chris and Dave moment.
I don't know if that means anything to you out there, but thanks for letting us say that. There we go. Keep going. We're rolling now.
Let's talk about Theory Y. Theory Y management is a complete contrast to Theory X. Here's some examples of what Theory Y managers see. They think work can be as natural as play if the conditions are favorable. Have you ever had a job where you felt like you were playing, but it was work?
Absolutely.
I bet you did a really good job there, too.
Better. 100%. Yeah, well, and you enjoy what you're doing. And if you enjoy it, people see that, and it makes whatever you're doing attractive for other people. And,
absolutely.
You know, people having fun is something I want to be a part of. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need an amen corner eventually on this.
Yes, we do.
Because I say amen a lot, so keep working on it. Sorry, Chris. Keep going. We're going good now.
So Theory Y managers also believe that people can be self-directed and creative to meet their work objectives if they are committed to them. So Theory Y managers believe that if I can get you involved in the organization, you'll be committed to the organization. You'll feel like a part of the organization. They also believe that people will be committed to their quality and productive objectives if there are rewards in place that address higher needs. Like if someone works above and beyond, maybe they'll get a bigger promotion. Maybe they'll get a bonus. Maybe they'll get some extra time off. But give them a reason to do something above and beyond.
Right. It becomes an achievement. And that's the goal. You want to win a race, right? I think Paul talks about that in the Bible. It's very important that we strive to do our very best. And Colossians, the scripture says that a lot. I think sometimes Christians don't think that they have to give their best. I think because we're Christians, we give the best because we love Jesus.
We give our best because we're Christians. You're exactly right.
Because we love Jesus. And that's it. And that's kind of part of this whole Romans 12:12 thing. We praise Jesus because we're giving him the glory. And ultimately, that's going to make leadership work.
Amen.
See, we need an amen corner.
That is beautiful. Yes, we do.
All God's people say, amen. Thank you. All right. Moving on.
So theory why managers also believe that most people can handle responsibility. They are creative and they have a lot of ingenuity. And under the conditions, these people will seek to be responsible. What do you think about that?
I think that's incredible. And I think if we really understood it, I think that's the goal right there. See, it's not about me lording it over you. It's about us leading together and growing and trying to achieve this thing we're trying to get done, whether it's in church work or Toyota or whatever else.
Good examples.
Company you want to name, fill in the blank, Chick-fil-A. I'm a Christian. Example. You got to mention Chick-fil-A. And all God's people, that's a gospel bird, right?
Sorry. They're not going to sponsor us, Dave. Good job.
See, I was wanting Toyota and Chick-fil-A. I was hoping they'd jump in. Sorry. Anyway, moving on. But I think those organizations work, though, because they build teams. And I do think those are two pretty good examples, especially Chick-fil-A. I've seen it.
It's absolutely a good example. Yeah. Well, let me put you on the spot further. Can you think of a biblical example for theory why?
Yeah. This one was easy because it's in the same text, and it's Jesus. So here's what happens. They were accusing him. Remember? We'll go back a few minutes ago.
Right.
And there it is. It's out there. So basically, Jesus was in a darned if you don't and darned if you do moment. Anybody ever have those moments?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so he's in this moment, and it's scary for some people, not for Jesus. Jesus is Jesus, and all God's people say.
Amen.
But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. I just think this is cool. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin cast the first stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I've always wondered what he wrote on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, losers, idiots, jerks.
Take that.
But basically, what he was leading there is it's about people. It's about this woman is valuable to him. She's valuable to all of us.
That's beautiful.
And he took care of her. And I think in that kind of leadership, and I know that's not a job situation, but it's important. So one more step. Let's move on. At this, those who heard it began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left standing with her. I always wondered what it would sound like. And I do believe in heaven, we get to watch the video of how this actually, you know, happened.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
And I've always thought about the thud, thud, thud sound. And let me expound on that just a little bit, because I can see people dropping their rocks. And this woman, she's got her head down. She's getting ready to get stoned. She's thinking, where's the first hit? And all she hears is dun, dun, dun.
That's right.
And it's the rocks falling to the ground. The dust is stirring up, and it's just her and Jesus.
It's beautiful.
A beautiful situation going on here. Jesus straightened up and asked the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. So let me just expound for a second.
Sure.
I think it's not about our religion. I don't want to tell people I'm religious. I want to tell people I have a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
And if I do, servant leadership's going to follow into that.
Yes.
This kind of leadership will follow into loving people. caring about people. Because ultimately you have one group of people that didn't care about this lady getting killed. Right. And you had one person who loved her so much that he ended up eventually dying for her. That's my Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the leadership. That's the Christ-centered leadership we want to talk about on this podcast.
Gosh, that is beautiful. I don't think it can be said better than that.
That's I'm done. Beautiful my aching back.
oh, my back.
My buddy in college, I hope he hears this sometime because he's the one that he inspired that moment. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, that was absolutely beautiful. And I don't think it can be said better than that. The theory why manager makes these assumptions about the people that we discussed and knows that if they can align their people's personal goals with the organizational goals, then the person will motivate themselves. An example would be if you've ever worked for a Theory X and a Theory Y manager, Friday afternoon, you're so excited to get off work. And with a Theory X manager, Sunday evening, you're sad because you got to go back to work. And with a Theory Y manager, you're excited because I get to go work and make a difference. I get to make this place better, and what I do counts. And that's what a Theory Y manager can make you believe.
And amen. And the goal is that it's true, that it really does count, and you can make a difference.
It does. So I want to throw this in, too. In all these management classes I've been in and pursuing a doctorate, very few times, but it has happened, I've had people say that, you know, I've spent all my life as a Theory X manager. I believe that people try to get out of work. I believe that people don't do their best, and I believe they're just there for a paycheck. But now I see how wrong I've been, and I'm going to become a Theory Y manager. And I've always wondered what it would be like to be an employee whose manager suddenly changed overnight from Theory X to Theory Y. It would be a wonderful thing.
That would be. But it would be different, right?
It would be very different.
And that's the goal, I think, to not do things the way it's always been done, but to make a change in people's lives. I think that's leadership 101, right?
And it is. You know, the sad part is sometimes the Theory X management is built into the organization and they think that's how management should work, and it's not. So how do you become Theory Y if you're in a Theory X organization? Or how do you become Theory Y if you're just Theory X whatsoever? And there's four steps to that, and they're easy steps. The first step is you need to decentralize control and you reduce the number of management levels. You've seen org charts, I'm sure, that have a lot of management levels, and usually that tends to lead towards a Theory X manager. If a manager has more subordinates, they will need to delegate responsibility and decision-making to these subordinates. So they will become Theory Y just by decreasing the number of managers, because that will force you to make your employees make more choices. Another way is to broaden the scope of the employee's job. If you add variety and opportunity, then you're satisfying the need of the employee and they get a little more say-so in what happens around there. The third is if you consult employees in the decision-making process, if you tap their creative capacity and provide them with some control over their own work environment, that's another step towards becoming a Theory Y manager, and you will greatly improve your employee morale and employee engagement.
Amen.
And the last step is have the employees set their own objectives and participate in their own process of self-evaluation. Let them set their goals and then let them tell you how they think they did over the year and what they need to improve on. And it may be different than what you want them to improve, but you need to listen to both sides because they're actually the ones with boots on the ground and they know what's going on. So give that a lot of heedance.
Yeah, I think you need to let them know what do they think their mission is and what do you think their mission is? What do you think they're supposed to accomplish and what do they think? I think sometimes it's amazing because we haven't given them the right information to know what they need to do to get the thing done they need to get done, and that's on us.
That's absolutely
true. As leaders.
That's absolutely true. I've been a firm believer that anytime there is any type of performance review, the employee walking in should know exactly where they stand. If they think they're doing a good job, if they think they're doing a bad job, they should know before. It should be well communicated to them so they can go in with the plan on how to improve or go in with the plan to see how things went so well.
Amen.
So McGregor wraps it up with this quote, "If properly implemented, this type of environment can increase and continually fuel motivation as employees work to satisfy their higher level personal needs through their jobs."
It's good.
Now, how does that relate to a Christ-like leadership?
as far as being able to achieve their goals. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it reminds you of what's important. It's kind of, again, you know, some of the things that we want to make sure that we hit hard here is the reason we're doing this and the whole 12-12 thing is God wants you to give him the glory, give him the praise, give at the end of the day, the accolades belong to him.
Absolutely.
So if you're working for him, it needs to emulate him. People need to look at you and know there's something different, and that difference is Christ. And because you have him in you, even if you're working under one of those that first theory and they're beating the time out of you.
And that's a good way to put that.
You still need to show Jesus. Because ultimately, maybe they can change after they listen to Dave and Chris's podcast.
I want to use your examples, and I want to ask you, and I want to ask our listeners too, would you rather work for the Pharisees, or would you rather work for Jesus?
I'm saying Jesus.
Amen.
I'm raising my hand to the Lord right now, and I'm giving him accolades. Praise the Lord.
Praise
can I get an
Lord.
Amen? My son did this thing and I don't understand it, but he always made me laugh. He was younger and he'd always say, praise the Lord. And I thought it was the funniest thing hearing him do that in such a Southern accent. But anyway, praise the Lord. That's a praise the Lord moment.
We need a praise the Lord moment. We need a lot of those.
And all God's people say.
And we need an amen moment.
Yes, sir.
So if you're listening, if you have anything to say about this, or if you have something you'd like us to cover, go to lead1212.com, LEAD1212.com, and you'll be able to contact us there.
Don't put the two dots in there, because
no.
I did that and I couldn't get on our website.
No, that doesn't work. It's just lead1212.
This
no
dumb
code.
Moment brought to you by Dave Scav. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. I want to close with the scripture.
Absolutely.
Hebrews 13:15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge him. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Jesus. Praise Jesus. Have a good day. This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.